From Tidbits on June 27th, 2011, this is CFP 2011, Teens and Data Retention, written by Jeff Porton. After the first day debate over the Do Not Track header at the Computers Freedom and Privacy 2011 conference, I managed to sit in on two other talks. The first, about teen attitudes toward privacy, was refreshing in that it's clear that teenagers aren't clueless. They have significant, if different, beliefs about maintaining a public-private split in their lives. The second, about data retention policies, is one of those CFP conference topics that can make the most rational of us start lining our hats with tinfoil. Teens and privacy. First, Dana Boyd of Microsoft Research presented her ethnographic research on teen use of Facebook, despite adult and mostly parental fears that kids today are letting it all hang out online with no thought to personal privacy. Her research shows that teenagers are acutely aware of the distinction between public, semi-public, and private spaces. Facebook is one of the few places where teens are allowed to enter into a semi-public space, and they do so with a great deal of thought and effort about cultural norms that apply in each. For example, Facebook posts and comments are used to create a semi-public arena for a group of peers who are mostly known to each other in real life. The norms and social rules for online spaces are largely negotiated between peers through extensive offline discussions. The transgressors aren't usually their peer group, but parents and teachers using Facebook as a means of remote surveillance. One student Boyd interviewed said she begged her mother to stop commenting on her Facebook posts. The appearance of an adult had the effect of chasing away comments from her friends. Since she was close to her mother, she invited her to send her private messages when her mother wanted to comment on her activities. Boyd's research also dispels the other common myths, such as the pandemic of teen sexting. Many of her interviewees report the first time they're exposed to sexting is when they borrow a parent's cell phone and come across text and images sent by the adults they'd really rather not see. If you're interested in significantly more detail about how teenagers think about online privacy, read Boyd's draft paper, Social Privacy and Network Publics, Teens Attitudes, Practices, and Strategies. Data retention policies. Were you disturbed by the kerfuffle about your iPhone seemingly storing your recent location information? If so, you probably don't want to see this mashup of data collected by Deutsche Telekom about German Green Party board member Malte Spitz, who sued the firm over the data they had stored about him, then turned the information over to Zeit Online for publication. It turns out that all cell phone companies need to have location information about your cell phone in order to route information back to you, and most store these records for a lengthy period of time. In the European Union, this is required by law. A 2006 EU directive requires telecommunications companies and email providers to keep various records for 6 to 24 months, depending on the date on question. In the United States, there are no federal laws in place requiring data retention, so it's largely up to the policies of individual companies. But a bill currently in the House of Representatives requires internet data to be stored for 18 months as a means of combating child pornography, or so the sponsors claim. Notably, the U.S. regulations above refer only to laws that are publicly known. It's still rather unclear the extent of the information being captured under the Patriot Act and whether such activities fall under any kind of oversight. So, take your pick. Either your monolithic telecommunications conglomerate has large amounts of data on you, or your monolithic government does. Most likely, both. And if you're wondering why this might be an issue, research by the MIT Media Lab shows that with access to recent data, your future activities over the next 12 hours, such as whom you'll meet, where you'll be, and what you'll be doing, can be predicted with 80 to 95% accuracy. Which raises the rather creepy idea that AT&T or the NSA might know what you'll be doing before you do. The EU legislation is up for review in 2012, and several bodies in the European Parliament are on record as stating that data retention policies, at best, cannot be proven to have a protective function. In the United States, the picture is much murkier, and no one has any information on which companies and which government institutions have this data or how long it is being retained, especially in regards to national security collection. But insofar as this debate is being held in public, Li Tian from the Electronic Frontier Foundation says the discussion is entirely data-free, with no research or claims being made as to the efficacy of any such measures for national security or anti-crime purposes. This is Tidbits, sponsored in part this week by Smile, Dolly Drive, and Econ Technologies. To follow links, make comments, read related articles, and get updates via email, RSS, Twitter, Facebook, and our iOS app, visit us at Tidbits.com. I'm Adam Engst, and thanks to Jeff Porton for filing this and other stories from the Computer Freedoms and Privacy 2011 conference. We'll be getting to more of them in future weeks, or you can go read them on our website now.